worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let the heavens rejoice and the earth be glad. The God who created the world and fills it with life be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Let us pray. Beloved and sovereign God, through the death and resurrection of your Son, you bring us into your kingdom of justice and mercy. By your Spirit, give us your wisdom, that we may treasure the life that comes from Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated.
A reading from the first book of Kings. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You've shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I am only a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you." The word of the Lord. Let's pray Psalm 119 responsively. Your decrees are wonderful, therefore I obey them with all my heart.
When your word is opened, it gives understanding to the simple.
I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments.
Turn to me and be gracious to me, as you always do to those who love your name.
Order my footsteps in your word. Let no iniquity have dominion over me.
Rescue me from those who oppress me, and I will keep your commandments.
Let your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes.
My eyes shed tears through your tears because people do not keep your teaching.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Romans. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 13th chapter. Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that is thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of the household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
A man was walking down the beach and he saw a bottle. Interesting looking old bottle, and he picked it up and pulled the cork out, and a genie pops out of the bottle and says, thank you for releasing me from my captivity. I will grant you 3 wishes. And the man said, oh good, I've been waiting all my life for this. I know exactly what I want. First of all, I want $1 billion, and poof, immediately a huge stacks of money appeared right beside him. And he said, second wish, I want a brand new Ferrari. And just like that, poof, a bright red 2010 Ferrari right beside him. Third wish, he said, I've been waiting so long. I want to be irresistible to women. And poof, he turned into a box of chocolate. So do you know exactly what your three wishes would be? Do you know exactly what you desire, what you wish for? Excuse me. That whole idea of wishful thinking and hoping for something is ancient and timeless. There are stories from ancient cultures about genies in bottles and leprechauns that are caught in the forest and different creatures that grant wishes to the lucky people who have those encounters. There's a lot of jokes that start out with, there was a man who found a bottle with a genie in it. You know, if that weren't true, we wouldn't have all this success of casinos and lottery ticket sales and the popularity of Las Vegas. There's something in us that wishes for, hopes for, desires that big win, that dream of getting all that we hope for, winning that big prize. And then just imagining what we would do with all of that money. Pay off a house, get a new car, take that world vacation. Of course, make a very nice donation to the church. So what would you do? What is your dream? What do you wish for? What do you desire? What are you looking for? Today's readings focus our attention on that question. What is it that you really want? What would you do to get it? The reading that we hear from the First Testament, the story of King Solomon, God comes to young King Solomon in a dream at night and says, ask whatever you want. And Solomon asks, because he knows he's been thinking about this for a long time, he knows exactly what to ask for. And he says, I want to be a good king. Make me a good king. God is very pleased with Solomon's request, pleased that he didn't ask for things for himself. $1 billion, a red Ferrari, to be irresistible to women. Although I think he must have been. He had 1,000 wives. So he probably had a little of that irresistibility in him already. But what he asks for is to have a discerning heart, be able to tell the difference between good and evil, right and wrong, so that he can judge and rule the people. He asks for that ability to have an understanding mind, an understanding heart, so that he can discern. And God is pleased with that and grants that wish. And the parables that we hear from Matthew's gospel invite us to think about what it is that we are seeking. What is the kingdom of heaven? What's our goal? We have the treasure map in the Gospels, in the Bible. Do we know where that X marks the spot in the kingdom of God? Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that's in a field and like a pearl of great value, that something so great that the person who finds it, who desires it, sells everything else in order to get that one thing. And there is great joy. The gospel writer emphasizes that word. There is great joy in the selling in order to obtain this one thing. He doesn't do it reluctantly, but he does it with joy. Wisdom, the gift that King Solomon asked to receive is that gift of knowing what is of value. It takes wisdom to know what is really of value. Wisdom is that gift of being knowing how to and what to give up the lesser valued things in order to obtain the higher value, the greatest value. So what is it that you desire? What is it that you are seeking? What do you wish for at the core of your being? There is treasure buried in fields around us. There is a pearl of great price to be had. There is mustard seed to be planted so that the word of God will grow and spread everywhere. There's yeast, the yeast of justice and mercy and God's holy truth that needs to be kneaded into that flour, into the world, into our lives, so that all of the people with whom we interact in our daily lives might experience that joy, be leavened with that wisdom and the truth of God's kingdom. The treasure is here for the seeking, for the finding. And as the gospel stories have ended these past weeks, let those who have ears to hear, hear. We know this truth. The gospel invites us to act on this truth. So what is the treasure? What is the pearl of great price? One way to think of it is that it is our awareness of God's presence in our lives. God is always present, but we aren't always aware. We need our eyes to be opened to see that presence of God in the world. Sometimes it's because we're focused on the things of lesser value. We're focused in our daily lives, so often caught up in the lesser value things, that we fail to see God's presence in our lives, that treasure hidden right before our eyes. God is here, waiting for us to recognize that truth. God is here, casting the nets to catch us, to bring us into God's kingdom, to let us tell God all of our hopes and dreams, and let God bring those hopes and dreams to fulfillment. God is here, sowing the seed, working the yeast of his love into our lives. God is here in the bread and the wine that we receive from God's table that nourishes us, that strengthens us. God is here in the fellowship of God's holy people gathered together. God is here in the word proclaimed and the word that is sung. The treasure of God's love and care, of God's mercy and forgiveness, of God's wonder and God's most amazing grace, that treasure is for us. And that treasure already belongs to us. I think that Margaret Nesbitt was a woman who knew this truth, that God's kingdom, God's treasure was already hers. She held that. She's often said, "Oh, in my morning devotions today," she would start with a story. The emphasis not on, pay attention, I prayed, but the fact that she lived her life in that awareness of God's presence. She claimed her treasure, not just now in her death, but she claimed her treasure every day of her life. But there's another truth hidden truth in this good news of Jesus, hidden in the parables like yeast that's hidden in dough. And this is the truth, that each one of us is the pearl of great price. Each one of us, through our baptism, have been made God's beloved. And to show how much God loves us, how much we are valued, how much we are worth to God, He sent His Son to show us how to live, to show us how to love. We are the pearl of great price. That God is willing to sacrifice everything, even His own Son, for us. I had a retreat director one time who encouraged me in my prayer to take time to allow God to tell me that I was God's treasure. Listen in your prayer, she said, to hear God say how treasured and valued, how precious and beloved you are. I don't think that we as humans have the capacity for really knowing and believing how much God loves us. And to tell the truth, there's a lot of time in my life that I don't really feel all that valued and treasured and precious. I don't know about you, but there are times when I feel a little less rather than more. The truth of the gospel is that we are more. We are valued and precious and treasured by God, His beloved children. That's why it's important for us to listen and to hear these parables about the kingdom and to reflect on the truth that's hidden there, the value of being that precious pearl, God's awesome and amazing grace that has transformed us into those valuable, precious children of God. I want to close with this reading by Mel Campbell that I came upon this week. So, you are a treasure. I am a treasure. You are a sought-after treasure. I am the treasure. You are the treasure. And you are the pearl. I am the pearl. You are the pearl of great worth. I am the pearl. You are the pearl. Then the kingdom of heaven cares about me. The kingdom sends a man to buy the sought-after treasure. The kingdom sends an entrepreneur to purchase the costly pearl of great worth. I am the treasure. I am the pearl. So in the kingdom of heaven, you matter. Within and without, today and tomorrow, you matter to God. He comes searching. The kingdom is about Jesus Christ, who buys pearls and treasures.